All right. Thank you, guys. I think we're going to have power in and out. And I'm going to tell this before Angie gets in here. June 10th, we'll be married 24 years. Yeah. And we've been happy 22 years. I'm going to tell you, those first 2 years will get you. And how we handle anger. And, you know, and stuff like that. It's just, y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? You know, I mean, first night, we go to bed and she turns the fan on. I lived by myself for 10 years, no fan. All of a sudden, I'm sitting there. But, you know, we didn't, you know, really know each other that well. And we didn't know how to handle anger. We expressed anger differently, didn't we? Don't we? We all express anger differently. And in talking about that, and I'm sure that I pushed her buttons. I'm sure that I continue to push her buttons. Now it's more for enjoyment. But we've been talking about, and we're going to talk about all summer, the crazy makers in your life. And so today is who's pushing your buttons. And if you got your Bible with you, turn to the book of Proverbs or take out your message note. I've got just about every one of them in there. Well, we're going to talk about this summer about getting our relationships healthy. We need our relationships healthy. So if I were to ask you, who's pushing your buttons? I'm sure a picture of that person has already entered your thoughts and in your mind. But you know, what's kind of an amazing is one of the most amazing things about crazy makers in your life is how they can quickly flip you from being happy to angry. You know what I'm talking about? You can be in a good mood. I mean, birds are singing. You're just smiling. And then the crazy maker walks in. And you get frustrated and mad all together. You know, almost at the very side of them. So if we want healthy relationships, we got to know how to deal with anger. How it shows up. How to deal with it. And how to diffuse it. And guys, you know, I spoke that about marriage, about like mine and Angie's, because a lot of you young folks that are just getting married have really been on my mind lately. A lot of you, especially a lot of you young folks, and praying for your marriages and relationships and how to deal with all that. But I first found some facts about anger. Did y'all know that the average woman loses her temper? Now, this is average. 3 times a week. Y'all know that? John, the average man loses his temper 6 times a week. Women get angry more often at people. Men get angry at things. Or things. In Rockmart, we say things. But women are more verbal. Men are more physical. Would y'all say that? Now here's an interesting thing. I'm still chewing on this. Single adults express anger twice as often as married adults. Isn't that interesting? But the place that you're most likely to express your anger is where? At home. At home. Because we get angrier and more intense about our anger at those we love. The people that make you most angry are the ones that you love the most, because they have the greatest potential to hurt you. They have the greatest potential to offend you. They have the greatest potential to frustrate you. A couple of doctors have got together and done a study, and they have identified 51 illnesses that can be contributed to anger. Isn't that amazing? Proctologists now say that anger can create a pain in the rear. Y'all didn't get that. They laughed in the 9 o'clock service. Do y'all need to know what a proctologist is? All right. But we all got crazy makers in our life, don't we? Have we? Every one of us do. But you know, anger's not always an inappropriate response. It's not always wrong. But I want to tell you something. Uncontrolled anger is always wrong. Always wrong. But anger isn't. In a lot of situations, anger is the only appropriate response. Anger could even be evidence of love. If you try to hurt my wife, or you try to hurt my kids, I'm going to be angry. I'm going to get angry. And then that would be an appropriate response. We ought to get angry at injustice in the world. We ought to get angry at greed. And we ought to get angry at racism. We ought to get just really fighting mad that other people are hungry and we have so much. And let me just say this. You guys have gotten mad, righteously mad. And last week at the food pantry, you fed over 600 families in 1 week because you got mad. That's a good kind of anger. That's a good kind of anger. When you can get mad enough to feed people. There's righteous and there's unrighteous anger. There's a right way and the wrong way. The Bible says when you get angry, do not sin. It says don't be self-centered. Don't have uncontrolled anger. Uncontrolled anger is sinful. Look at these verses I put up there. Proverbs 25 says, if you cannot control your anger, you are as helpless as a city without walls open to attack. If you can't control your anger, you're going to be defenseless. People will manipulate you. Have you ever said this? You make me so mad. Any of y'all ever said that? Well, when you say that, you just admitted that person is controlling you. When you say, you make me so mad, you just admitted that person is stronger than you. Proverbs 12:16 says, a fool is quick-tempered. But a wise person stays calm when insulted. He says it's wise to let it roll off your back. 16:32 says, it is better to be patient than powerful. It is better to have self-control than to conquer a city. It's more important to be in control of your emotions than to be the president of the United States. It's more important to be in control of your emotions than to be the CEO of your company. It's more important. But here's the fact that I also learned, that anger is a learned response. You learned it. You learned it from other people. Maybe some bad examples you learned it from. You might have learned it from TV. You might have learned it from video games. You might have learned it from your parents. Well, the good news is, that since it is learned, it can be unlearned. Anger can be unlearned. So we want to learn some appropriate ways to deal with and to express your anger. And that's what I want to do today is teach and learn for myself a couple of things. Today I want to learn the ways that people express anger and how it shows up and then how to disarm your button pushers. how to diffuse the people that push your buttons in your life with some biblical principles. Real quick, I want to go over four ways that people express anger. And I want to tell you right off that one of these ways is not worse than the other. There are all ways that we express anger, and they're all wrong. Not one worse, not better than the other. And the very first one is me. I put them in words that hopefully that you're going to relate to. If you're filling in blanks, number one is a machine gun. We express anger like a machine gun. And this is me. I'm ashamed to say that. But it's just that a machine gun is somebody just lets you have it. And they just mow you down. We're exploders. But one thing about a machine gunner, you never have to say, "Are you upset?" It's pretty obvious that they're mad. any other machine gunners in here? Nobody. I'm not. Well, a good example in the Bible was Cain. Cain was the son of Adam and Eve, and he committed the first murder in the Bible. Genesis 4 says Cain became furious, and he scowled in anger. And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. I want you to look here, attacked. Attacked. This is the response of the first form of anger, this machine gunner. We're attackers, machine gunners. But I'm going to tell you something about people that have this type of anger, express this type of anger. We regret it immediately. We're often embarrassed. We're ashamed and of things that we've done, and things that we've said, and we just want to apologize. Does that relate to anybody? Second way that people express anger is mutes. I don't like mutes. Mutes are the exact opposite of a machine gunner. They don't blow up, they clam up. They don't get violent, they get silent. And they hold it in. They live in this denial. You know what I'm talking about. Are you upset? No. Well, I know you're mad. No, I'm not. Y'all know what I'm talking about, no? I can't stand mutes. They almost always refuse their anger. No, I'm not. I call them crockpots. Not crackpots. That's for another person. Crockpots, because they just stew and simmer. They just and they swallow their anger. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And guys, when you swallow your anger, your stomach just keeps going. I've said that before. You don't talk about it. If you don't talk it out, you're going to take it out on your body. You're going to wind up with ulcers. You're going to wind up with headaches, high blood pressure, all kind of stuff. Well, some of you guys that follow me on Facebook know that I've been in Jeremiah, and he's the perfect example of a mute. Jeremiah's, they call him the weeping prophet because he cried a lot. Well, Jeremiah didn't have this wonderful feel-good news that the Lord had told him to tell people. He said, hey, and if you're sinning, guys, he went from town to town at the gate. He said, hey, if you're sinning, you don't live right, you don't start living right, God's gonna come down. God's not happy with us. Not a real positive message as you enter the city, but it was the truth. And God gave Jeremiah to tell him that. Well, but they call him the weeping prophet because he held in his anger and he cried a lot. Jeremiah 15:17-18 says, I stayed by myself and was filled with anger. Why do I keep on suffering? Why are my wounds incurable? Why won't they heal? Because you're holding it in. Because you're holding it in. I want to ask you today, are you holding on to unexpressed anger? If you are, it will literally burn you up to hold it in. Guys, it ain't so much what you eat, it's what's eating you. Now I'm going to give you number three. This may be my personal favorite. Martyrs. Martyrs. Martyrs are pros at holding pity parties. They invite themselves. Martyrs are always passive. And they tend to punish themselves. They say, what's wrong with me? You know, it's my fault. And, you know, what did I do wrong? We're martyrs. They just blame themselves. But you know what the number one sign that you have the martyr approach to expressing anger is? Depression. Depression. Depression is caused by lots of different things. But one of the primary causes of depression is, they call it frozen anger. Frozen anger. You know, when you hold on to anger and you just let it freeze in your life and you make yourself a martyr, guys, when you let that freeze, you're going to get depressed. A great example was the older brother in the prodigal, the story of the prodigal. Y'all remember that story in the prodigal son with Luke? This kid's growing up and his dad, you know, wealthy, and he says, Dad, I want out of here. Just give me half my inheritance and let me go. And he went off and had a good time and he squandered half his fortune. And he had a brother that stayed there. That he didn't. He stayed and worked the farm. And so the brother went through all the inheritance and he came back and he was broke. He was poor. He was nasty. And when his dad sees him come up, he says, get the robe, get the fatted calf, get the ring. We're going to have a party. Your brother is back. You know what the older brother said? He's a martyr. I ain't going. I didn't get no party. Look what he said. The older brother was so angry, he would not go into the party. So his father went out and pleaded with him. He said, I ain't going in. I'm not going to the party. You got anybody like that in your family? That you have to plead with? That you have to beg to come in? But this is the way they handle their anger. If they ain't happy, they don't want nobody to be happy. We'll just ruin the party. Y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? We all got the Aunt Harriets. We'll just ruin the party. If I ain't happy and I don't show up and I can act a fool, then this ain't nobody happy. I'm not going to that party. Let me tell you something. That's just as wrong as the machine gun. Just as wrong. The last one is the manipulators. Another way that people express anger is manipulation. What that is, you don't get mad, you get even. Manipulators will never tell you to your face that they're mad, but they'll get even in subtle ways, sarcastically. They'll do things to make you look bad. And if they say something mean to you, you call them on it, they say, oh, I was just joking. No, you weren't. You're a manipulator. You're mad at me. You know, they'll say, you can't take a joke. I was just joking. But that's a manipulator. Crazy makers. You know, religious people can be good at this. They really can. I remember hearing terms like, I was grieved in my spirit. We're manipulating. One of the greatest manipulative statements is this. Y'all, I know you hear this. Bless your heart. What does that mean? You know what that means? I think you're stupid. You know what I mean? It's a manipulative statement. But a good example of them were the Pharisees. The Pharisees were very, very jealous of Jesus Christ because he had become more popular than they were. He had become stronger. And so in Luke 6:11 says, but they were furious. And this is the Pharisees. And they began to plot with each other what they might do to Jesus. Now, all these four ways, whichever one you are, you learned how to get angry. None of these four are helpful, but you can unlearn from them. So let's look quickly how to deal with the crazy. We're only going to do two of them. I know some of you guys are all ready to go. You're sitting in the dark. How to deal with the crazy makers in your life and how they push your buttons. It's all going to be in the book of Proverbs. Number one, real quick, how do we deal with it? Before we get mad, we got to, number one, we got to calculate the cost of anger. We got to calculate the cost of anger before you allow yourself to get mad back. We got to calculate what we're going to lose. You're less likely to get angry if somebody pushes your buttons when you realize that there's always a price tag. There's always a price tag when we get angry back. And the Bible is very specific about uncontrolled anger. Proverbs 29:22 says, an angry person causes trouble, and a person with a quick temper sins a lot. It says you're going to have big trouble, and you're going to sin a lot. Then it says, hot tempers, this is the next one, 15:18 says, hot tempers cause arguments. Hot tempers cause, you want to argue? Have uncontrolled anger. Anger causes mistakes. You ever get mad at work? You can't perform at your optimal capacity when you're angry, can you? You make mistakes. People with hot tempers do foolish things. Anybody want to have a testimony to that? Some of the most foolish things I've ever done or said have been out of anger. Foolish things. The cost are trouble, sin, arguments, mistakes, and foolish things. Write this down. I always lose when I lose my temper. I always lose. I lose respect. I lose love, possibly even lose a job, lose my health. And I want to talk to you just almost one-on-one. Whether you're a coach, whether you're a parent, supervisor, you may be tempted to use anger to get people to do better at work. You may be tempted to use anger to motivate athletes. You may be tempted to use anger to motivate family members or kids to do the right thing. I want to tell you from experience and studies after study, don't do it. Don't use anger to motivate your kids, your loved ones, your athletes. Don't do it. You may get a short-term payoff, but in the long run, you know what anger produces? Anger. Anger produces anger. So before you retaliate, I want you to think about it. Do I really want to do this? What will it cost me? What are the mistakes? What are the arguments? What are the foolish things? What is the embarrassment going to be? Proverbs 14:29. Oh, it's on the next page. Says, those who control their anger have great understanding. Those with a hasty temper make mistakes. Number two is this. I said I would come back to it a couple of weeks ago, and I did, and I did. I came back to it intentionally. Number two is this. Look past their words to their pain. Like I said, I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago, and what I'm saying here is don't respond to what they're saying. Look at why they're saying it. Look at why they're saying it. Proverbs 19:11 says, a man's wisdom gives him patience. It is to his glory to overlook an offense. You're wise if you don't look at the words, but listen to the pain in the words. We say this, I almost said every week, but hurt people hurt people. When somebody hurts you, it's because they have been hurt, and they are still hurting. Unkind people are people who have never felt kindness. Unloving people are people who have never felt loved. When someone has been rude, when someone has been unkind, when someone has been sarcastic, or when someone has been mean-spirited and attacking you, they're just shouting out extremely loud, I need massive doses of love. Period. Because when they act this way, they don't feel loved. They don't feel secure. Because secure and loved people don't act that way. They don't act sarcastic. They don't act unkind. Love people are not rude. Love people are not unkind. They're not attacking. They're not sarcastic. You know, and the person who is loved and secured is generous and gracious to one another. When someone is mean and cranky, they're just yelling out, I'm in pain. I'm in pain. But what they need is not what they deserve. So you got to decide something, and kind of wrapping up here. You got to decide something. Am I going to overcome evil with good? Or am I going to retaliate on their level? Guys, when you attack somebody, it puts you below their level. When you retaliate and get even with them, it puts you on the same level. But when you overcome with love and goodness and grace, it puts you way up here, way up here. But when you get even, you know better than that person. You know better. Know better. To be better, you overcome evil with good, and you respond with love and mercy. And you look past their words into their pain. This was my Facebook status this morning, what I'm about to tell you. And it's one I'm trying to live my life. I wrote, don't allow anyone the satisfaction of letting you become their enemy. Don't allow it. Don't allow anyone that satisfaction of letting you become their enemy. They may hate me, but I'm going to try to never hate them. Don't allow them that kind of control and power over you. You're not going to be even with them. Because to get even with them is to be on their level. But Jesus would look past their words and into their pain. And I'll close it at that. We'll finish up next week. Let's pray. Lord, the thunder seems to be kind of strange as we are quiet and listen. It makes me realize the power that we have access to. We don't always go there. Help me to remember, Lord, about every 5 minutes that I can learn and I can unlearn the ways I've expressed my anger. Help me to remember, Lord, that there's always cost. It may be embarrassment. When I lose my temper, I've lost respect from folks that I know. I wouldn't have to apologize so much if I could control it. Lord, help me be not so prideful. When somebody says something and hurts my feelings, instead of lashing right back, I think about it. And I look beyond their sarcasm. And I look beyond the wisecrack. And I don't get even. I don't give them a quick comeback. I look beyond their words and into their pain. And give them what they need, not what they deserve. A big dose of love. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.